Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education.
When Tiffany O'Donnell, an admin at a breast cancer center, took notes about Enhertu at work, she didn't expect the medication to become part of her own life. In January of 2014, Tiffany had just moved back to Pennsylvania with her family when she noticed some breast pain. After seeing the doctor and getting a biopsy, she was diagnosed with stage 2B breast cancer at only 33 years old. 5 years after receiving a double mastectomy, the doctors discovered that her cancer had metastasized and spread to the bones. She ended up having 8 rounds of chemo as part of her breast cancer treatment. Wanting to help other patients like her, Tiffany started working at a breast cancer center, where her colleagues caught lesions in her liver before her own doctors did.
The imaging that I had done for my follow-up, there was a bit of mix-up with the report.
And where she first heard about Enhertu, a targeted therapy tailored for patients with metastatic HER2-low breast cancer. In today's episode of Cancer Horizons, Tiffany discusses what keeps her going on her journey with metastatic breast cancer, how she became classified as a patient with HER2-low breast cancer,
because I was HER2 negative the first time.
How Enhertu compares to her previous chemo treatments.
It's a step closer to it being a chronic disease instead of a terminal disease.
Advice for other patients living with metastatic disease.
Take it one day at a time. Live in the moment with your family and friends.
And more.
First of all, where are you right now? Where do you live?
I live in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
What do you do for a living?
I actually work at the Breast Care Center here at Penn State Health. I've been working for Penn State Health since I moved back to the area in 2013, but been working for the Breast Center since 2016. I had 2 years after I was diagnosed, actually, because I wanted to help other women, young women like myself, you know, that are going through breast cancer.
And what do you do there?
I am admin secretary, so take care of the doctor's schedules and everything.
So what was the lead up to you being diagnosed? Did you detect a lump, or is it some kind of symptoms?
Actually, no. So it was, I had, like I said, I just started, moved back to the area, just started my job with Penn State Health in January of 2014. And in February, I started having breast pain. So I went and got it checked out. The doctor didn't feel any lumps, but he said he felt fibrocystic changes. And so he had ordered a mammogram for me. My grandmother had been diagnosed a year and a half before, but, you know, she was in her 70s at the time. So, and it was my dad's side, so it wasn't something, you know, they really look at the time. When it's on your father's side, now it's a little different, but then they didn't really look at that. So I ended up eventually getting scheduled for a mammogram, had some cancellations with snowstorms, but got it done, and the radiologist was doing an ultrasound, and she said that there are some calcifications in my left breast that looked abnormal, so she wanted to have a biopsy. And she said 9 times out of 10, it's usually nothing, but I just want to make sure. I was like, okay. So I have the biopsy done on a Friday. And that Monday, I got the phone call to come into the office because it was breast cancer. But the pain that I had started with was on my right side. So it's kind of an incidental finding.
So you were diagnosed at stage 2?
Yes, stage 2B, yeah. But I was 33 years old.
That's very young. What was your initial reaction when you learned this?
I think I kind of went into a little bit of a shock. Also the fact that I, at the time, was working in the ER, so I was working that weekend, third shift. So I had pretty much just gotten my daughter off to school and was going to bed, and a couple hours later got the phone call. Luckily, my husband was home because he was off that day. And it was a big shock. Wasn't expecting it at all.
And what was the process of learning about your disease like?
It was kind of just a whirlwind, basically. Like, you know, it was like, come in, get your results. We're going to set you up with the surgeon. You know, I met with a doctor then, and, but I had a lot of people, like my family. So it was good to have an extra set of ears to ask those questions and listen to what the doctor was saying.
And what course of treatment did you end up?
I ended up, so I had a double mastectomy with reconstruction, and then I had the adriamycin, cytoxin, and Taxol chemotherapy, 8 weeks of that.
And what's your status right now?
They found some new lesions in my liver in July, which started the whole process of me going on in HER2.
Could you tell me a little bit about, like, the day that you and your care team talked about in HER2 and made the call to do it?
The imaging that I had done for my follow-up, there was a bit of mix-up with the report. The radiologist that read the report did not review, compare it to a previous CT, like, a couple months ago. Because I had a CT without contrast done the week before for a different issue from a different doctor. And then the next week I had the CT with contrast by my oncologist. And he just compared those two. And usually you go back further than a week to compare imaging. So we had the benefit of me working in the breast center is that I have access to these amazing doctors that will drop everything for me to look at my imaging. So they looked at it, the radiologist there looked at it, and she did say that, yes, there were this progression in the liver. So my oncologist reached out, and, you know, we finally got the report addended, but her and I had been talking about it before, and her too, and with my position at the breast center, I have to take minutes on the breast disease team meetings. And so one of the meetings actually was discussing in HER2 and the role that pathology plays and how to treat the patients and everything. So it was kind of worked out that way, that education of it before actually starting it. So.
Yes. Yeah, so you're unusually informed, maybe.
I am. I have an advantage over the normal patient. So, it's good and bad, but I like it.
And so what was your reaction when your oncologist recommended in HER2?
At first I was a little, unsure because, you know, I don't want to go through chemotherapy again. I had been on pills for a while and that was great. And, you know, don't have to worry about losing hair. I think that's what upset me the most is the possibility of losing my hair again because, you know, alopecia is a side effect of it. But at the same time, I think, you know, looking at it, it's a step closer to it being a chronic disease instead of a terminal disease. And another step closer to hopefully finding a cure. We're getting there little by little, but it is an exciting step forward.
And when exactly did you start taking it?
I have had two treatments so far. So I think August.
And it's given intravenously, or how does it work?
Through the port. Yeah, I have a metaport.
Just like you would for your chemo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or at least through the same port as through.
Yep.
Chemo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
And what has your experience of the side effects been so far?
So far, I haven't really had any terrible side effects except maybe fatigue, and I have noticed my hair coming out, so, you know, got it cut short. Other than that, I've been tolerating it pretty well.
How does it compare to side effects from your chemotherapy?
Oh, it's so much better than the first round. The first round was horrible, the side effects. The Taxol was awful. With the constipation, and this one has been a lot better.
I want to get a little zoomed in on your timeline here.
Mm-hmm.
So you told me that it was July that they found the liver metastases?
Yes.
Okay. Had you been in remission earlier?
I was stable. Like I have, I have bone mets, so they're gonna, you know, be there and notice on imaging. I did have other liver mets that shrunk, and I also had brain mets. So I also had the MRI. One of those was gone, and then another one had shrunk some more. So I was stable.
And how long had you known about the metastases? Was that from the beginning, or when did that happen?
I was first diagnosed 2019 with bone mets. And pretty much every year since, there's been some kind of progression. I was 5 years past my original diagnosis when it metastasized. So, I mean, it could metastasize at any time, like 5, 10, 20 years from now. Someone could get they diagnosed with stage 4 because it's hiding somewhere and then just all of a sudden ugly again.
What was your reaction when you found out about the metastases?
Again, shock, sadness, worry. I have a daughter. She's going to be 15 on Sunday. I was afraid I'm not going to see her grow up. I've been involved with the Young Survivor Coalition, so they help young women with breast cancer, and I've met so many women like myself diagnosed with breast cancer and also have lost them as well. I've had 3 friends that I've met pass away in the last 2 years. So when I see things like that, you know, it scares me that I won't see my daughter grow up and get married and have children of her own. But, you know, just try and take each day one step at a time and, you know, enjoy what I have with her now. Hoping me and her too, you know, works and does what it's supposed to, and I can see her graduate high school and graduate college.
What role in your treatment or in your disease course had your HER2 status played up to that point? Were these conversations you had about your HER2 status with your care team?
No, because I was HER2 negative the first time. So, you know, we didn't really start talking about HER2 status again until this last progression I had and the whole ASCO thing and HER2, so... it was like, oh, you're negative. Okay, we're not going to do anything else for that particular, part.
And are you within the, like, bracket right now that they're calling HER2 low?
Yes. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. So, I was going to have a biopsy back in August, but, they were able to test my liver biopsy from 2020 and, tested that again, for the HER2 set, like the HER2 low. And that's how they got that, result.
And how many lines of therapy have you had total?
Total? I think 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you say to other people who are dealing with the same thing you're dealing with?
So for the HER2, I would definitely say, you know, check with your doctor. If you were tested negative before, you know, see about, you know, if you can get a biopsy or if they can retest your specimen, so that check your, if you're low, like HER2 low, go for it. If it's going to be, you know, help you live longer, definitely look into it. As far as living with metastatic disease, I think you can't think about the future. You just have to take it one day at a time, live in the moment with your family and friends, and just try not to think about worst case scenario. But I unfortunately do that myself, but but I've been trying not to. But it is something that happens, you know. But definitely, you know, lean on your friends and family. Say, you know, if you need something, go to them. It's okay to ask for help.
And how about participating in, like, the patient advocacy and the social media groups and things like that? And obviously your daughter's birthday is coming up, so that's got to be something to be grateful for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel any particular way when a milestone like that comes and goes, or, you know, your daughter's birthday or even your own birthday? Or what do you think about when those special days come?
I'm grateful I made it to another year.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter @cure_magazine or at Facebook @curemagazine.